Hello and welcome to Top 2. I'm Avi Bernard.
I'm Sean Fletcher.
Sean, what episode is this?
This episode 6. Can you believe that?
Wow, episode six already. Danny Griffin couldn't join us today. He's off doing some entrepreneurial things, but he will be back with us next week. So it is just Sean and I flying, flying duo. I guess that works.
It works.
Is that a proper way to say that? I don't know. But it's just Sean and I, so we will be counting down our top two. And of course, top two is the show where we each count down our top two topics of the week from any area of life, any area of society and culture, whether it is politics, news, sports, music, or anything else. So, Sean, what is your number two topic of the week?
So I'm going to position this as number two, but my topics this week are kind of similar.
Kind of fluid in ranking.
Yeah, they're kind of similar in ranking. So for the sake of the show, I'll make this my number two, but it could easily be my number one. I know we said that we were going to rid ourselves of Candace Owens.
Oh,
the last couple of episodes that we've had.
Another Candace Owens discussion.
But for some reason, she keeps finding her way into public dialogue, in particular, the Black community.
That's her goal,
which is kind of what I want to dig into, and really what I've been sort of stewing on the last few days. So she was on the I'm full on stewage right now, trying to figure out some things
like about, Stewie from Family
about
Guy,
what's going on, all of that. So she was on the Breakfast Club. All right, so the Breakfast Club has been doing its typical thing in terms of, you know, allowing some of the political candidates a platform in order to, you know, kind of speak what they want to talk about. Nikki Haley was on there. We talked about that a couple of episodes ago on the pod. I gave my thoughts on them platforming her. And of course, Candace Owens is not a political candidate, but she is of the grifter persuasion as well. So they had her on the other day. And of course, that lit up Black X. Is that what we call it now? Black X? It ain't Black Twitter no more. Is it Black
I don't even
X?
Call it Twitter. Twitter X is a stupid name. As I say on my radio show all the time, I still call it Twitter. It's just X is a stupid name.
Yeah.
Elon is a bad business person. I know he's a billionaire, but a lot of that wealth was given to him.
Yeah, I know.
And so he's running that platform into the ground, whatever he wants to call it. But I still refer to it as Twitter.
I don't even. And it kind of feel like Black Twitter is like trademarks. Like you just can't change it all willy nilly to Black X. It's Black Twitter.
Why would you even change it to X? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You have these billions of dollars in built in branding. And you change it to a stupid to a letter? That doesn't even make no sense. And then what are, you know, we call when you post something on Twitter, you call it a tweet. What do you call when you post to X? Is it an X? Did you just X? That don't even make sense.
And the funny thing is that he hasn't even completely overhauled it. Nope. Like when you tweet and all that stuff, the little birds still pop up. It may still make the tweet noise. I'm like, come on, man.
I know for a long time. I haven't looked for a long time, but it was still twitter.com. I think it's still twitter.com.
Is it? I don't know.
It's still twitter.com. Yeah, it's not x.com.
Come on,
I mean,
Elon.
So I mean, like he finally got the stupid X logo on like the homepage, but
Elon doing it. But anyway, so Candace Owens was on the Breakfast Club, and you know they're having dialogue, and she's still doing her regular old grift, right? Just she's the type that I said a while ago. She's dangerous because she can talk certain people into tangles if you allow her, just fast talking. But if you actually sit back and diagnose what she's saying, it's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of BS. It's conflating a bunch of different issues. And I opened up the comments, which I try not to do, but sometimes I do. Like it's a wasteland of ignorance. And it's sad to take a look at it. But some people were like hyping her up, like, oh man, that was the most sense I had ever heard her make. And man, if people just really try to take a step back and, you know, not overly politicize everything, Candace Owens kind of makes some sense, even though I don't agree with everything. They tried to like sanitize it. One of the things that, you know, on top of all of the other just flagrant, flat out idiotic stuff that she has said in the past about George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, them bringing it on themselves.
Exactly.
The anti-Semitic.
You don't come back comments. From that for me. You can't come back from that.
You're done. You know, it's between you and the good Lord to find redemption, because you ain't going to get it from Sean Fletcher. But she has a whole greatest hits of just ignorance, you know, against her own people. Right. On top of the anti-Semitic waters she has waded in that got her dismissed from the Daily Wire the other day. But she made one comment that was like classic grift. And she conflated two different things. And they were talking about some of the controversies that she's had and with the White Lives Matter shirts that she and Kanye had done. This is like classic Candace Owens, right? She was fast talking it. And they're like nodding, And she draws this false equivalency that just made. And I'm bald, so it takes a lot for my hair to stand on end, right? She said, you know, I didn't get what everybody was so up in arms about, because white lives do matter, right? Am I wrong?
Oh my God.
Those same people who followed the Black Lives Matter movement organization and got swindled and got and I said, okay. And I wrote in the comment. I said,
classic, oh, you commented. You commented.
Of course. I said, I was compelled. Against my better judgment, I was compelled. And I said, that is the grifter's grift right there, where you conflate two different issues, the organization of Black Lives Matter
and the grassroots.
All of us have acknowledged. Mm-hmm. Had several missteps mm-hmm. in how it was handled. To the humanistic side, a race of people mattering within humanity. Not one person has said white lives don't matter. Then you went and juxtaposed a group of people within God's green earth and an organization to make a point that you were okay from putting a t-shirt together that said White Lives Matter in the midst of a social justice movement, not an organization. And folks let that go right over their head and say, huh, she makes a lot of sense. I see her differently. Literally said, I see her differently, they said. So the thing that outside of the nonsense of it that I thought about when I was reading the comments and all of that type of stuff, one of the things that I struggle with, the same thing I mentioned with Nikki Haley and platforming some of these people. Do we need to look at people like the Breakfast Club that has a significant Black following and look to them to stop platforming those people? Not because it's the right thing to do, because I am totally open for free dialogue and you make your own decisions. But it seems as though we're not doing that. And it feels as though these people are swindling people. The grift seems to be working with a good portion of the community. And for that, it feels as though, almost like when we talk about the Donald Trump situation, like you almost have to operate uber carefully so the grift doesn't seep through and infect more people than it needs to. So we got to be cautious to not even put his town halls on CNN like we used to criticize him for. Why don't we take that same approach to people like the Breakfast Club and say, don't even put people like her on there? What's the difference between her and criticizing CNN for putting a Trump town hall and he has an hour and a half long platform to spew misinformation?
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
I mean, the difference is that CNN is a trusted, or at least used to be, a trusted news organization. And the Breakfast Club is just like it's a radio show. It's not a news show. It's an entertainment show. And so that's the difference. But no, but I'm on your side, though. I agree, though, because the Breakfast Club is going to put anyone on their show who has a large following.
Mm-hmm.
Because for them, it is a business. And for mm-hmm. them, they are also trying to get views and likes. That's how they continue to have their show and earn money, because their show is popular. And the show is popular because of them, but it's also popular because they have popular people on there. And by popular, I just mean people who have a large following. And Candace Owens, some fucking how, does have a large following. And so you said that Candace Owens can talk people in circles. That is her goal. That is the whole goal, is to obfuscate. And that's the whole goal of her and the Republicans in the MAGA wing. Steve Bannon, who was like Donald Trump's longtime advisor, who to me has always looked like the bug in the Edgar suit in Men in Black, because he just looks like he's been dead for a long time. But he said a long time, he's always said that he tries to flood the zone with shit, direct quote, flood the zone with shit so that people don't know what is what.
Yeah.
And that's what Candace Owens, that she goes by that same playbook.
Yeah. And she's good at it. That's the concern. She's good at it. But Avi, man, the Breakfast Club has, according to Nielsen ratings, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm super smart. I'm literally looking it up while I'm talking to everybody. 8 million listeners a month, more than half of which are Black.
So
that's a big deal.
So it is a big deal. But I didn't listen to this interview with Candace Owens. I decided to not do that to myself this time around. So did they give her any pushback on anything?
No. And that was part of the problem, too. It didn't even get contentious. It wasn't even chippy. It was similar to Nikki Haley. It was softball. It was like they were cool.
And see, that's the thing, man. Charlamagne, like, he used to be tough on people and he used to keep it real with people. So I haven't watched Breakfast Club in a long time, but I've seen interviews in which he kept it real about what he was feeling, even if it wasn't something that the person he was interviewing wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And you can't even do that with Candace Owens.
I'm going to be honest with you. It looked like they were scared. And some people said it in the comments. Like, I don't expect Envy or Jess Hilarious to jump in. Because in part, Envy has shown, like, that's not his lane. And Jess Hilarious, in all fairness, I don't really know her. She hadn't been on there for a month. So I don't really know enough about her chops, her versatility outside of comedy, right? So in all fairness, she kind of stayed to the side. But Charlamagne has waded in these waters.
Mm-hmm.
So if you choose to get in, I'm going to expect you could swim, whether it's an entertainment show or not. And when you let these cats on there, I hold you to a different standard. And they sat there. You got to watch it. They sat there.
I really don't want to watch it.
And they didn't push. Like, you can just go on the Breakfast Club Instagram account and look at the clips.
I believe you. I think you watched it, so I didn't have to.
You'll get enough just from the clips. You don't even have to watch the whole thing unless you really want to subject yourself to that. But
I don't.
She, similar to the Mark Lamont Hill when he came on her show, she's smart and savvy enough to where
she flood the zone with shit.
Exactly. She can follow their playbook and she does it better than anybody. She's not the clumsy dog, metaphorically speaking, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's just clumsy with her grip. But Candace Owens is good at it. Like, she's good at it, which is the most dangerous. She's not Rudy Giuliani, where it's clear, like, this dude don't even really believe what he's saying. Candace Owens will say nonsense in a believable way. So I'm sure there will be more. We keep swearing up and down. We're going to stop talking about Candace Owens. But now that she's released from the Daily Wire, her platform of choice to spew this nonsense, she'll probably go the Tucker Carlson route and go her own media platform to say crazy stuff. So I'm pretty sure. But I was disappointed in the Breakfast Club. I really was. Not simply for bringing her on, but if you're going to do that, there's a responsibility to make sure that you're prepared in order to wage, you know, some sort of civil discourse. It could be diplomatic. I'm not saying get ignorant, but you need to be able to parse these issues that she's bringing. And she sanitized all of them, even to the point to where she made Kanye seem like he was on the, like, he didn't say some of the ridiculous anti-Semitic stuff that he said.
Well, because she said a lot of anti-Semitic stuff herself, and which is one reason why people believe she was let go from the Daily Wire.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the Daily Wire's main people is Ben Shapiro, who is also a crazy right-wing dude, but he's Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I also, by the way, am Jewish. And so I take anti-Semitic stuff seriously. Like, everybody should, but everybody doesn't.
Yeah.
But everybody doesn't. So Candace Owens says all kind of crazy shit on her show that she used to have on Daily Wire. Jews drink the blood of Christians. I mean, it's something that's been said a long time. What is it with MAGA people thinking that people they don't like drink blood? I mean, I don't know if they've been watching too many vampire movies, but you've heard that Democrats drink the blood of children or some stupid shit like that.
Same thing.
Where do they come up with this shit, man? What is it about saying that people you don't like drink blood? I mean, it don't make no sense. You know that that doesn't actually happen, right? So that's why she was probably let go from the Daily Wire and the whole White Lives Matter thing, her having the White Lives Matter shirts. And Kanye West, listen, man, Kanye West, I haven't listened to his music for a long time. Obviously, like I said, I'm Jewish, I'm black and Jewish. So Kanye has been saying anti-Semitic stuff, but I stopped messing with him before that because I stopped messing with him when he started saying anti-black stuff. And when he started saying that, what was it, slavery, that sounds like a choice, 400 years, that sounds like a choice or whatever he said. I haven't wanted to hear what he has to say since then because he hasn't ever... to me, truly apologized. He hasn't changed his views. He's gone more and more to the right, more anti-black and now anti-Semitic as well. So just because somebody can make good beats doesn't mean I give a fuck what they have to say if they're a terrible person. So no, I don't listen to Kanye West. I don't plan on listening to him anytime soon. And the fact that people can, I know people say you should be able to separate the art from the artist. I can't do it when someone is that bad. Nah. I can't. And so... the whole White Lives Matter thing. What did she say on that show? What we were just saying that white lives matter too. Listen, bitch. I'm sorry, man. And I gotta clarify because I'm not just calling her a bitch because she's a woman. Because I call men bitches all the time. I call Kanye a bitch. Call Trump. Every time I see Trump in my head, every time I read an article with Trump's name, I say, "Oh, this bitch." So, just to clarify again, bitch is non-gender specific. With the whole White Lives Matter thing, Black Lives Matter doesn't, as you said, Sean, we never said white lives don't matter. And we also never said that Black lives matter more than white lives.
No.
You were just trying to bring awareness to the fact that we often don't feel like our lives matter because we get gunned down when we don't have weapons and we get treated like we're less than and our lives are treated like they don't matter. So that's what Black Lives Matter came from. And when someone is telling you they feel like that and your response is say, well, we matter too. Like, we never said you didn't.
Never said you didn't.
And
you're intentionally missing the issue. Intentionally.
Intentionally. And it is intentional because they don't want to deal with it. And imagine if Black people were in the minority and some other minority said, hey, man, listen, we're experiencing this. Our lives matter. We say we do too. We say, yeah, I agree. I agree. Your lives do matter. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
And so I don't get their refusal to acknowledge basic things like that, that all we're doing is saying Black Lives Matter. I mean, when a city goes through a terrible tragedy, like New Orleans with Hurricane Katrina, people will say like New Orleans strong or whatever, or they wouldn't say I'm all cities matter. Like, no, of course, we know all cities matter.
We already knew that.
We know that. We know that every city matters. But we're trying to put attention on New Orleans right now because they're going through a terrible tragedy and we want them to know that we support them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Black Lives Matter means. That's like people say Houston strong when they had their flooding and anything like
all
that.
That's
all it is. It's not a thing that says anybody else doesn't matter. So that whole thing, man, I can't stand that woman. Next time you see her, I just noticed this recently.
Wow.
Her eyes are really far apart. It's like, it's weird. Like, she could probably
see it all out now. You get it all out.
She can look in both directions at the same time.
You get it all out. I mean, out.
Like you know how birds' hey, you're eyes are. I'm telling you, I was like, wait a second. She's like a bird. Like, you know, like their eyes are on the side of their head. That's kind of how she is. And it's really weird. Once you won't be able to unsee it. If you go look at her, you won't
I'll
be able
right
to.
Now. Yeah. I'm looking right now.
You'll never unsee it.
That's going to haunt me. That's the upside down. Yeah, the sunken place type of thing.
So I don't know if she's like some kind of
that's crazy
reverse AI or something, but man, I'm just telling you, look at her eyes. Something ain't right.
Man, enough about Candace Owens. We spent enough time on Candace Owens.
Spent enough time on her for a lifetime. My number two topic is the terrorist attack that took place in Russia this past week on Friday.
Okay.
So there was, and obviously the first thing I want to say is that my heart goes out to the people who lost their lives.
Right, of course.
I think the latest tally that I saw of people who were killed was 133.
Yeah.
While at a concert hall. Oh. It's so horrible. And gunmen went in there and they started shooting people. And it is unimaginably horrible. And those are civilians, those are innocent people. And no matter where this takes place, it's horrible. And so, this is one example where just because you don't like a country or their government doesn't mean you have to wish harm upon their people. And so
people
were celebrating when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th of last year of 2023 because they don't like the government of Israel. That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Those are innocent people. I don't like the government of Israel either. And I don't support them. It's a right-wing government. They're terrible. That doesn't mean you celebrate when innocent people get killed. Just like I don't like Vladimir Putin, or it's not even really a government. It's a dictatorship. I don't like them. That doesn't mean I want innocent Russian people to be murdered or harmed in any way. So that's the first thing. But the reason I'm bringing it up here is because they ignored, according to BBC, Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin ignored a warning from the United States about this terrorist attack. And so there is, on March 7th, it was a Thursday, March 7th of this year, 2024, the United States issued a warning to all citizens in Russia saying, listen, avoid large gatherings in Moscow. Mm. And they specifically mentioned concerts. Isn't that crazy that was about 2 weeks ago?
As on the nose as you can get.
Right. And they said over the next 48 hours. So the timing wasn't exactly right, but maybe the timing was changed because that warning came out. So they came out with this warning and they said, in addition to warning all U.S. citizens in Moscow or in Russia, apparently, according to a U.S. official, they also warned the Russian authorities directly. Mm. So a U.S. official said the U.S. government also shared this information with the Russian authorities in its accordance with its longstanding, quote unquote, duty to warn policy, which they have even with governments who they're not allies with, especially when citizens are involved. And that's a great policy. But the issue is that Vladimir Putin disregarded that warning, according to BBC. And so he instead, 3 days before this attack happened on this past Friday, on March 22nd, Vladimir Putin addressed the board of his federal security service, whose job is to defend the country. And he told the board that the top priority for Russia's security service was to support his quote unquote special military operation in Ukraine, which is code for invasion. So the Russian security service, he has them working on an invasion in which he is a terrorist. He's being a terrorist. He's inflicting terror on innocent people. And because of that, he's not even protecting his own people from terrorist attacks, even when he has a direct warning. Just when you think Vladimir Putin couldn't get any worse, he always gets worse. There's always lower. And so I just wanted to bring this up because it is just remarkable, man, how horrible of a, not only a person, but of a leader he is. And so he is, this war in Ukraine should have never happened. It's all it was Vladimir Putin wanting to take over Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he invaded Ukraine for no reason. And he's come out with a bunch of propaganda saying, Ukraine is responsible for all this bullshit and this and that, a bunch of propaganda that he and his state-owned media continuously put out. But all it was him wanting to invade Ukraine. And not only has that resulted in countless innocent Ukrainians dying, including women and children, of course, but it's also resulting in his own people being susceptible to terrorist attacks because the security service that's supposed to defend his country is now also focused on invading another country of innocent people and murdering innocent people. So that's my number two topic of the week. But I'll open it up to you.
Vladimir Putin, and you know, this is one of those topics that it's going to come up again. Just like we talked about Candace Owens, it's going to come up again. There's commonalities, you know, in terms of how Putin operates, in terms of just the flat out disregard for humanity. All right. And of course, the you know, the grifters of the world, like the Candace Owens and the Ted Cruzes and, you know, Gates and Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts. I mean, I could go down a laundry list of them. We'd be here all day. But the disregard for humanity on their side is still a disregard for the empowerment and ultimately what is in the best interest of humanity going forward. They divide, they fearmonger, they all with the intent on grabbing a hold and not letting go of power. That's all it is. They manipulate so they can grab a hold of power. If for some reason they feel like you are trying to make your own, God forbid, decisions based upon facts, they're going to wrestle those facts away in an attempt to disarm you from making your own decisions so they can go back to what is top of mind for them, which is power and influence. That's what they go for. Similar yet different on the global stage, you know, we see world leaders like Putin, you know, do the same thing, just on a far grander scale in terms of the not even indirect, in this case, the direct peril of his own people, of Russian citizens.
He does not care about them
He does not care about them in any shape, form, or fashion. And he had the gall to say and intimate that he dismissed U.S. warnings because he called them, he said they resembled blackmail and the intention to intimidate and destabilize our society. How ridiculous. How ridiculous is that? Because if you cared about a people, don't you operate out of the abundance of caution?
Right.
Regardless of what we think, again, it's not as though they got intel from at least what the reports are saying. It's not as though they got some sort of scattered intel that's going to lead you down a dark, blind alley to where you're going to be in harm's way.
Yeah, very specific information.
Telling you to avoid something. It wasn't saying avoid this whole region and then we sneak in the back door and destabilize their operation. No, this told you stay away from mass gatherings, in particular concerts and the like. So Putin is without excuse. And it's not even veiled anymore that he doesn't care about those people. He cares about only himself in power and trying to take over that region to, in my mind, ultimately take over as world dominant. So my heart goes out to those people and their families. And like you said it well, that you can disagree with a government and still empathize for the people that are under the thumb of this system of governance. The same way I feel about Chinese citizens, that I feel mm-hmm. about North Korean citizens. Mm-hmm. Because I disagree with the system of governance and leadership and dictatorship there, I empathize even with those people who, whether you want to call it Stockholm syndrome or just like it's good for them, I even empathize with the ignorance.
They don't know anything else. A lot of them
don't know anything else. And when you
and they're trying to survive also.
Exactly. When you strip a people of their democratic thought, because thought comes before action, when you strip a people of their democratic thought process and ideals, they don't know any better in most cases, unless they've had an opportunity to escape and see a different way of life.
And that's the goal of dictators, is to not even allow you to think anything else.
Exactly. So Vladimir Putin, again, he's a disgusting human being. And there are certain people that, again, man, I don't wish ill or harm on other people, but there are just certain people I just say, you know, good Lord, if you decide to go and take them off this earth, I'm totally cool with that. And I leave it there. And there's a handful of folks that's on that list of folks that I say, good Lord, I'm just going to go and walk away. I'm going to leave this list right here and I'm going to go and walk away. If you decide to take them off this earth, I'm totally cool with that because they seem to bring no good to anybody. So, nah, man, I hate this situation. And, you know, we will continue to to monitor. Like you said, we don't even know the full death toll right now, which is which is horrible. It's a horrible way to live life over there. So
yeah. So in short, Vladimir Putin is a bitch. But your number, Sean, what's your number one topic of the week?
Oh man, my number one topic, and I'm gonna stay on my axe to grind just with people, just with people in general, you know. So the Duchess, Kate Middleton, and let me preface this by saying I don't care nothing about the monarchy at all. Nothing.
I could not care any less about them.
I think it represents the worst of us with this whole concept, and not to mention their history, right? Of colonialism and imperialism and all the other isms. That's a totally different conversation.
Yeah. But and racism.
And racism. We could check all the bingo slots on that one. But with this particular situation, Kate Middleton, she came out the other day and with a video that confirmed that she had been diagnosed with cancer. And she's actually going through chemotherapy. All right. Chemo is not used as a preventative measure. It is when you got it. All right. And it's typically done a couple of different ways. Oftentimes it's done to after surgery to rid of the rest of the remaining cancer cells, or it can be done as sort of a prelude to potentially avoid invasive surgery. Depends on what type of cancer you have, all of that. Cancer has unfortunately inflicted many within my family, so I'm familiar.
Sorry to hear that.
With it. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thankfully, those within my immediate family are all cancer survivors, so I'm thankful for that. But in this particular situation, the last, I don't know, what has it been? 3-4 weeks? 5 weeks, maybe? That the conspiracy theory, ever since that photoshopped video or photo of her family.
Now, what was that? What was that Photoshop situation? Because I, like, as I said, I don't care about what's going on with them over there. So I heard something about some kind of Photoshop, and I did not even bother to read anything about it.
So here's what I read about, and I followed it loosely. You know, I'm not a big, like I said, I'm not a big TMZ type of dude, but Kate Middleton had been out of the spotlight. People hadn't seen her in weeks.
Okay.
So the rumors started to circulate. What's going on? All of that. She and the prince are having issues. And, you know, has she flown the coop? Did she die? Because they said she was having a medical procedure. Some people were saying, did she get that, get a procedure like a nip and tuck type of thing? Is it superficial? It was going everywhere. People were saying, she had a body double because they were seen at this market over there recently. Mm. And everybody said, that doesn't look like her. That doesn't look like her. That's got to be a body. I'm talking about like credible people. Like it kind of doesn't even look like her. I wonder if that's her body double, because, you know, they all got body doubles for security reasons. And the conspiracy theories, you can Google Kate Middleton conspiracy theory, all kinds. That she died and they don't want to let the public know and all these types of things. Right. So she comes out and, you know, this is why I'm continuing to lose my faith in humanity. All this pressure, and come to find out, this is what you got. You got what you asked for. And now the woman felt pressured and compelled to share heartbreaking, I'm sure gut-wrenching news that she probably still is wrestling with, to come to terms with that. And she looks, and I have seen many of people who are going through chemo and post chemo, they look tired, because they are. Their body is tired because chemo is poison, literally poison, that is almost medieval that we put.
Chemo is trying to kill off the cancer cells before it kills off all your other cells. That's
all your other cells.
The hope with chemo.
Yep. It is poison. And it will, you can see it in people's eyes when they're fatigued, right? So when I saw her eyes, I could tell something was off, regardless of weight or anything that people would conjecture, like, oh, something's wrong. My whole problem with all of this is, first of all, what's wrong with us as a society? And social media continues to just light it on fire. This nosiness, this sense of entitlement, this sense of, if you in the public eye, I need to know everything about you. I have a duty to know.
And you have a duty to tell me. You have a duty to tell me everything about you.
To tell me everything about you. And then all of a sudden, when it's something bad, then all of a sudden we back up. Like, oh, I'm sorry, this and all. You pried and you pried and you pried and you tried to shame and you tried to come up with these conspiracy theories, all kinds of, and they're never good. They're never good, conspiracy theory. They're never good. Like, oh man, maybe she just went off and she's in a astronaut program. That's why she had to go. Maybe she's in the British Secret Service.
It's never anything positive.
It's never anything that when it's all said and done, it's going to be positive. It's always something crazy. Like, oh, she died 6 months ago and they just propping her up. And it's Weekend at Bernie's part two. Mm-hmm. I hate where we seem to be going as a society, especially in this digital social media age, where everybody's so vulnerable. Everybody's putting themselves out there. And we just continue to create this insatiable appetite. And I don't know who to blame. I don't know if it's the public or if it's the people who are most visible in the public eye, like celebrities, like notable figures out there that either create the appetite, or the people who are saying, keep feeding us with your critical details, vulnerable detail. It was sickening to me these last couple of weeks watching it. And then to see the culminating video of her pouring her heart out about what's going on in her life. And I can only imagine how scared she is. And you're not gonna make me believe that she revealed that on her own timing. She didn't. She was forced into doing that. I don't know where we're going as a society. I really don't. I don't like it.
Well, I hate to be the pessimist here, but this is kind of who we've always been. This we are the same people who, and not most of our ancestors directly, but I'm just talking about human beings, are the same people who used to fill up the Colosseum in Rome and watch people slaughter each other. We're the same people who, at least white Americans, were the same people who would bring their children to lynchings and have them watch because they were proud of it and they think they needed to see it. It was important in their upbringing. So we're human beings are, when you put human beings in a crowd, they are animals. We are animals. And obviously, you get a person one-on-one, you can talk to them and they can have a good chance of being a reasonable person and someone you can talk to. But when you get people in a crowd, man, we're animals. And that includes online. Online is like a big crowd of people looking at different things. And our gaze goes to different things at different times. And our gaze is on many things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And when a big portion of the crowd focuses on you, then sometimes you feel pressured to reveal something like Kate Middleton did. And so I said when you first started talking about this topic that I don't care about the royal family, and I don't. But that doesn't mean I don't care when another human being is going through a situation like this, like Kate Middleton is going through.
Yeah,
I feel horrible for her, and I wish her a full recovery. And I too had close family members go through chemo, and so I don't wish that on anybody. And I share your dismay at how nasty people can be. And it is just, here's an example, like Eric Clapton, right? The musician.
Yeah.
I think he had some kind of anti-vax views and stuff, which I think is horrible. But when he was kind of making those views known online, looking in the comments and people were, because you know, his son died a long time ago. His young son died. I think he fell out of a window or something. Horrible situation.
Yeah. One of his most famous songs.
Yeah, exactly. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Yeah, exactly. So But people were in the comments saying horrible things about that situation, about his son dying. And, and I'm like, yo, listen, listen, I don't agree with his anti-vax views. I think they're horrible and even dangerous. But that doesn't mean I'm going to talk about his deceased son. Like, what is wrong with you, man?
Just
like,
low. Just
like,
low.
And so you, that's why online is a horrible place. I try not to spend too much time there. I try to connect with people who I know and share moments with them. But it's a horrible place to be, man.
Yeah, man. It's disgusting. That was something that I was once again stewing on the last few days. But and you know, again, it's nothing. Like you said, it's nothing new, but it's still no less disappointing when you look at humanity and how we act sometimes, you know, and it's not everybody, but it's enough people to upset you and make you wonder, you know, who raised you? Like, where is this coming from? Like, at some point, do you have no scruples, no decency? Let this woman. Do you have no business of your own,
man? Like, that's I think that's a lot of the problem is you got a lot of people who just ain't got shit to do, like, and they ain't got shit going on in their life. And they got nothing going for them. And so they live vicariously through other people.
Yeah.
And that's
which is ridiculous. But, you know, regardless, you know, I don't rock with the monarchy, but shout out to Kate Middleton. Full recovery.
Yeah. Prayers. Yeah. Up. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Ain't it crazy how wide the spectrum of the capacity of humanity is, from the very best to the very worst? The amazing things that we as humans can do. And the love and compassion that we're capable of having, and then this the absolute disregard that we're capable of having. Just crazy.
It takes all kinds. Yeah, takes all kinds. That's for sure. What you got, man? What you got?
So my number one topic of the week is a story that I talked about several times on our radio show that we that we do on the group chat on KBLA. And so there were these officers. Six white officers.
Yeah.
They broke into a home without a warrant and they tortured two black men.
Mm-hmm.
They did horrible things to them. They used stun guns. They assaulted them with sex toys. And one of the victims was shot in the mouth in a mock execution. So these six officers, they pleaded guilty. And they have all now been sentenced to between 10 and 40 years in jail, in prison, rather.
Mm-hmm.
So the high ranking, I think he was the most high ranking among them, a guy named Brett McAlpin, a 53-year-old, got 27 years. So if he serves that whole time, all that time, then he would get out when he's 80. So these dudes decided to have themselves a good old fashioned like hate fest. They just they broke into these dudes' home and they tortured them. They literally tortured them, and they're being held accountable for it. And I think I said this at the time when I first started talking about the story months ago when I first heard about it, is just how, like, what would make them even want to do this? And this was in Mississippi, of course. Whenever you hear about something like this, it's
of course.
Was it Mississippi or Alabama? Was it Mississippi or was it Alabama? And of course, it could be in a number of other places too. It could be in South Carolina, it could be in Florida. But Mississippi and Alabama, that's like the Bentley of racism right there. That's like, man, it feels like where racism originated, even though obviously it didn't. But it's just, that's some deep rooted racism.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
They're
in heavy competition with each other.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, it's like the racism Olympics. But basically, it just reminds me of, I feel like they were caught up in the mindset that their ancestors used to have and used to be able to get away with, is that we can do whatever we want to these black people and we're not going to punish us because they're black. And there used to be no consequences for this. And I think they were just kind of thinking, and this is like we talked about Black Lives Matter earlier. People like that don't believe Black Lives Matter, and that's why they think they can get away with doing things like this. Because they don't see it as doing it to another human being. They would never do that to a white person. And so like treat them like just torture them and treat them as if they're it's crazy to me. So these former officers, these former Mississippi officers being sentenced to between 10 and 40 years, it feels like some semblance of justice. And there will never be a true atonement of the justice for all of the countless people who were murdered and lynched and raped and all the other horrible things that happened in the state of Mississippi. But the fact that they are paying a heavy a consequence for what they did, and they should, they deserve all this time and even more, in my opinion. But the fact that they are receiving consequences for what they did is somewhat heartening to me.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like justice at all to me. I know the DFS penalty was, 40 years? It doesn't feel like justice to me. And granted, within this case, you know, the judge, from what I read, sentenced them to the highest, near the highest sentences or prison terms.
Yeah.
Or the guidelines. Right?
Yeah, the type of sentencing guidelines.
We gotta understand how the law works. You know, they just,
right.
The judge doesn't just have free reign to sentence them to death.
Yeah, exactly. Because he doesn't like what they did. Exactly.
Doesn't work that way. And that's where my mind gets stuck, Avi, is when I say things like our justice system is broken, I don't just mean the application of it all the time. I mean the core, at its core, is rotten to its core, because it was, in my opinion, it was a rotten apple from the start. It wasn't meant to be just for all, everybody.
The first police force were meant to be, they were slave catchers.
They were slave catchers.
They weren't there to protect and serve people. System.
Yes, no, they were not. So this purity that people talk about, and I've had arguments and disagreements with, you know, people I respect about it, about the history of it and how we got to where we are now. It is rotten at its core. And when we have conversations about defunding the police and all that stuff, I think people bastardize that conversation a little too much to where it's polarized and we don't get into the nuances of what that means to defund and you know, all of that. But either way, the justice system, and that's what stood out to me in this case, of when they said they were punished to the higher side of the guideline, the sentencing guideline. I got beef with the guideline. I'll be honest with you. I got beef with the guidelines a lot when I see our sentencing policies, because all the judge can do, the judge gets a pat on the back when they say I sentenced them to the highest degree within the guidelines of this particular legal proceeding. Okay, well, they did something heinous, and many times they took somebody's life. And your sentencing guidelines restrict you from serving justice, in my opinion. What is true justice, in my opinion, in this particular case? And I think a lot of it also ties into the deterrence. I'll say the deterrence of people doing it again. When people are drunk with both power and racism, that's a lethal combination.
That's a horrible combination.
And when you also just sprinkle in the mix the potential for consequences that we kind of feel like we may not even really get in trouble for this, because the police is here. Like, think about it. Who polices the police? The police is here tonight when we're about to do this. And then you look at it to the extremes and say, well, the justice system, and none of us get in life, because none of us are going to live out the rest of our days in jail. None of us about to get the death penalty. And we do these heinous things to another human being. I see that as a flaw across our justice system. So when I look at cases like this within context, yeah, I guess we could say justice was served, or some semblance of justice feels like it's been served. But in a broken system, sure, I guess it's the best of the worst. It is what you can expect out of a broken system. But for these men to ever see the light of day again, in my opinion, for these people to be able to do something like that, and the gall to feel like you can do it to another human who did nothing to you. Like that, and for a justice system to not come down harder on somebody like that, I struggle with feeling that it's just. I really do.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying it's some semblance of justice. And like I said, I wish they could have more time. But this just to break it down a little bit further about exactly what they did. So they are in Rankin County, Mississippi, which is majority white. And some, I guess, a white person that they know, those officers know, or that the main dude, McAlpin, knew, complained that the two black men they assaulted were staying with a white woman at a house.
Mm.
That's when this all started. And then McAlpin told one of the other officers who in a group chat asked if they were, if the other deputies were available for a mission. That's a direct quote. And so once they were inside, well, a couple of the officers were instructed to cover the back door of the property during their illegal entry because it was an illegal entry. They did not have a warrant. Once they were inside, the officers mocked the victims with racial slurs and shocked them with stun guns. They handcuffed them and poured milk, alcohol, and chocolate syrup over their faces. They assaulted them with a sex toy. They forced them to strip naked and shower together to conceal what they had done to them. And then one of the officers was guarding the door to make sure the men didn't escape. And after one of the men was shot in the mouth, lacerating his tongue and breaking his jaw, the officers devised a cover-up. And the deputies agreed to plant drugs. And then false charges stood against the two black men for months because of the drugs they planted. I guess the oldest two officers threatened to kill the other officers if they spoke up. And one of the officers admitted what they did, right? And they told him to throw his phone in a river. And if he had done that, then none of this might have been discovered. But they were able to discover some of the WhatsApp text thread that they were talking about this on. These motherfuckers were talking
not even about smart this criminals
on WhatsApp. Wow. So just
idiots.
Just spectacularly stupid. And as stupid as they are, horrible people. So that's just a further breakdown of what they did.
And then they had the guts to apologize during the sentencing. Man. Everybody's sorry after they get caught. Don't nobody want to hear the backwards too little too late apologies. Man, you could have saved that. I'm telling you, man, I probably would have tried to jump on them cats. I'm trying to tell you, I ain't that forgiving. The good Lord ain't worked that part of me yet. I would have tried to jump on one of them cats, man. I'm trying to tell you. You try to stand up there and apologize to me,
man,
after you did what you did? Man, please.
Yeah, man. And then just one final note. The Rankin County where they were, where those officers were employed. Rankin County Sheriff Brian Bailey, when they were fired, he revealed no details about why they were fired. He just said, oh, they've been fired. And then after they pleaded guilty, then Bailey said, oh, the officers had gone rogue and he promised changes. But the two black men who were assaulted, they filed a $400 million civil lawsuit against the department. And in November, that sheriff was reelected without opposition to another 4-year term. So.
Crazy, man.
That's my top one. That's my topic of the week. Since it's just the two of us today, you know, we have our top two, but do you have a plus one?
You know what? I do. I'm gonna stay on the theme of my axe to grind with humanity.
You calling out names today.
Just I'm naming names today. I just got a problem with us, with humanity this week. So coming to sports, which I typically, you know, stay within that space a lot, but it's not a typical sport story. It's inside the NBA. So Patrick Beverley, who plays now, I don't know which team this is for him now, but nonetheless, he's an NBA player. So I'm not gonna throw shade on him.
He plays for the Bucks.
It's
like what now. Is the 12th team? I don't know. He's been on a lot of teams.
Who knows, man? I don't know, but. He has his own podcast, you know, which is typical. A lot of athletes are taking back their narrative, as they say. New media, as Draymond Green says. On his podcast, and Patrick Beverley is kind of known for being kind of provocative and
super fucking wild annoying. Yeah.
And out there and annoying.
Unbelievably annoying.
A lot of people would say. So on his podcast, he did a lot of people do top 10 lists, right? And usually top 10 may be top 10 greatest of all time, top 10 best handles, you know, top 10 shot blockers, whatever the case may be.
And we do top two around here because that's better. But go ahead.
Because that's better. So he did a top five list of the blackest white guys in the league.
The whitest black guys?
He did. So ultimately, he called it the blackest white guys. But the list is actually the whitest black guys.
So the black guys who act the whitest, I guess, is what he meant.
So that's basically. So what he said, and he was sort of, you know, explicit with his explanation of it all. He said it had nothing to do with basketball. He wanted you to know how ignorant. He didn't even leave it to question, am I talking about their game? Are they playing like, you know, Princeton and Yale out there on the court? They don't have the cross of them. He said, no, I'm not talking about their basketball game. I'm talking about their swag, he said. So he went on to name names. He named Jared Allen, who's a center for the Cavaliers. He named Miles Turner, who plays for the Indiana Pacers. He named Mo Bamba, who plays for the 76ers now. He named Grant Williams, which I'm a little surprised by that.
Really?
Yeah, he named Grant Williams from the Hornets, which I'm slightly surprised by that, but I kind of understand. If I'm trying to look through Pat Beverly's distorted eyes, I get why he would put him on there. And CJ McCollum, all right, who I believe is still
he with the Pelicans.
I believe he's still the president of the NBA Players Association. I believe he still is. I know he was formerly, but he may still be very sharp, cerebral cat. And he takes aim at them. And I don't understand a lot of what he does and why he does what he does and says what he says. But Mo Bamba came back at him. And if I were these, I would have hit him hard. I really would have.
Oh hell yeah.
But so Mo Bamba jumped on X, formerly known as Twitter, and sometimes still known as Twitter.
X, stupid name. I always say it.
He said, all right, I got time today. He said, I'm a top five black white guy because I can properly articulate how I feel and how I see things. He said, you're a smart man. Do your research. He said, I'm not a gangster to any capacity, but I'm born and raised from Harlem. I made it off the block and out the trenches. He said, secondly, sitting there with your legs crossed like that and asking and asking your white co-host to publicly question my blackness is one of the reasons why it's hard to move the culture forward. And yo, to add to it, he added Pat Bev podcast, but he added Dr. Umar Johnson. He added Dr. Umar Johnson on his tweet. I don't know if Dr. Umar chimed in on it, but I'm pretty sure I can envision all those memes. I can envision him standing at attention when he saw that he was being added for this nonsense. CJ McCollum,
what would Dr. Umar say about that? Do you think he is against saying that white people? Because I'm not someone who decides to pay a lot of attention to what Dr. Umar Johnson says. He is against he's against interracial marriage and interracial dating. So I guess he believes that probably shouldn't exist or something like that. But would he agree with Pat Bev that there are guys that black men that act too white, or would he be appalled by that? I don't know.
I think he would. I don't follow him either. I think he would agree with a couple of these cats on there, but I think he would probably take it to sort of a hotep level of it's not superficial. I see what you do, and I see that you used to date some white women, and your wife ain't black, your wife Latina, and what's wrong with our sisters? And I could see him like adding, like putting the 2 on the 10 when it really ain't even about that. He just took a cheap shot at them because of some superficial nonsense, some old, in my opinion, slave mentality thinking of if you don't talk a certain way, you're not part of the culture.
That's so stupid,
that you're not down with the culture.
So
and
stupid.
We put each other on hierarchies and we sit and judge each other based off of these arbitrary rankings and slottings of what's closest to blackness and what's not. You know, does he have to wear dreads like you, Pat? Does he have to wear
dirty looking dreads like too? Little like, crusty looking dreads.
Like, does he have to say random stuff that gets him in trouble?
Do you gotta start fights? I mean, like,
does he have to be all extra out there? Like, what is going to allow them to pass your black test? And that's the nonsense. And Mo Bamba hit him. I was expecting CJ McCollum to say a little bit more, but he didn't. He just kind of hit him with a passing, you know, as Dame Lillard, since they're on the same team now. He said, "As Dame Lillard about me before you speak on my name." That was whack sauce in my opinion.
Yeah, that's
weak. But yeah, that was pretty weak. But Mo Bamba hit it. He hit the nail on the head.
I love what Mo Bamba said.
Sitting next to your white co-hosts of all people, like, how tone deaf can you be questioning my blackness with some arbitrary metric sitting across from your white co-host? If you wanted to embody what the spirit of this ridiculous ranking that Pat Bev put together, that would be it.
And of course, there's nothing wrong with having a white co-host. But if you're talking about somebody ain't black enough because they do certain things or they talk a certain way, then you're going to that's really hypocritical. I mean, I don't feel good about the fact that Pat Bev is a former Laker. It was short lived. It was a cup of coffee. But when he was on the team, I didn't like it. I didn't like when they signed him. I didn't like when he was on the team. I was glad when he was no longer on the team.
Yeah, me too.
Because you're a fellow Laker fan. So so I was in this really weird juxtaposition because I've always rooted against Pat Beverly, because how can you not? And even before you hear about dumb shit like this, because he's annoying on the court. He thinks he's better than he is. He acts like he's some high level player, but he's really not. Mm-hmm. And so I always think about this story that I heard about. He was talking shit to Steph Curry one day when they were playing, and he said, "The last 5 years were yours. The next five are mine." That's what Pat Bev said to Steph Curry. This was years ago at this point.
But
Steph Curry, in the perfect response, said, "Aren't you 31?" And so,
yeah, exactly.
And so he's someone who lacks self awareness. He's completely oblivious to what he actually is. And maybe he knows how people feel about him and doesn't care. He doesn't care. But this is what I don't like about the podcast era. And I know I'm saying this on a podcast. I'm not saying that all podcasts are bad.
Right.
But it's just that everyone wants a microphone and anyone can get a microphone. And not everybody has some shit to say.
Mm-hmm. And so, most don't.
And so now I have a radio show. I've been on terrestrial radio for about 15 years. So it's not like I just podcast, and you, Dr. Sean Fletcher, as I call you on the radio show that you are on with me frequently. You have also been on many radio and television programs because of your articulation prowess. And so I'm just saying that we have this podcast for a reason. It's not just we not that anybody shouldn't have a podcast, but I just think that some people don't got anything to say and we do. That's all. But the fact that anyone like Pat Bev feels like they should have a podcast, like, I don't care what you have to say. A lot of people probably don't, and you're trying to get clicks and shit, but you're a whack. You're not a high level player. That's why you get passed around to multiple teams and even within the same season sometimes. And your career is going to be over soon. And so I don't like Pat Beverly. I think this list is stupid. I think I agree 100% with what Mo Bamba said about having to talk a certain way to be considered black. That's the oldest, most tired,
it's so lame,
dumbest shit you can even say. Yeah. You're still saying that?
Yeah.
And so if you think you got to look crusty like Pat Beverly to be black, then I'm not sure what the other criteria are, but man, that's just so stupid. And it's tired.
It sets us back. We talk about lifting each other up as a people. Like, we're the only people that do that stuff, man. Like, those are the types of things that I struggle with when we talk about. And of course, yeah, we're not literally the only race and culture that do that stuff. But we have a voice. Like, we're a very loud minority in this country. Yeah. And we have cachet. And we have influence. And we have a measure of power.
Especially relative to our percentage of the population.
Exactly. And especially in the NBA and the NFL and in professional sports and that are most popular in North America. So when somebody like him positions us in that way and perpetuates that old, tired, lame thought process that we have to talk a certain way to pass your blackness test. Like, what decade are you in, man?
Honestly.
Like,
honestly.
And again, who are you? Like, who are you? Like who,
right.
Who are you? Think you are?
Right.
Like, who do you think you are? And that's something that, you know, again, man, I hope he sees the error of his ways. He probably won't. He's not a dumb dude. I've heard him say some very rational, logical, albeit self-aware, I'll say, as well.
He's an attention whore.
He has said but like you said, when you give some people a microphone, they're going to do the things that they believe that microphone merits, trying to get attention, trying to get, again, a microphone does not have to just be used for the technical reasons. You have a microphone to be the loudest and to try to garner the most attention. You don't have to use it for that. It is supposed to be used because what you say in quiet is of such value that I would like more people to hear it. How about we go with that rule of logic when it comes to microphones and podcasts and garnering attention and all of that? If you don't have nothing of value to say when it's quiet, what makes you think it should be amplified? It shouldn't. I don't want to hear your whitest black guy list if you whispered it to me. I dang sure don't want to hear it in a microphone where hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of other people heard it because it got retweeted and it went viral. Man, do better, Pat Bev. Do better.
And that's all he wanted. He just wanted attention. And that's the thing, man. People want attention at all costs now. And I don't understand. I don't understand that at all. I don't get it, man. People do anything for even negative attention. And it's sad.
Yeah, it is.
So that's all we got for today.
Yes.
Anything else before we wrap up?
Nah, man, we riding. Episode 6. That's amazing. We appreciate y'all listening. We appreciate y'all rocking with us. You know, tell a friend. Keep riding with us. Go jump on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review.
Or Spotify.
Or Spotify. Most people seem to be rocking with us on Apple.
I personally like Apple better.
I do too. I'm an Apple disciple though. I'm still working on it. But keep rocking with us. If you feel like you're getting some value out of this, give us some feedback. We want to hear from you too.
Yeah, we sure do. So appreciate you, Sean. We will check back
in. No doubt. Likewise.
We will check back in with Danny next week.
He'll be back.
He can't help but do that. So we will talk to you next Monday.
Peace.